Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Spirit Fire Radio. We are so thankful that you are with us. And by we, I mean myself, Steve Kramer, and my delightful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Great to be with you. You know, maybe our listeners don't know it, but we straddle the coasts, right? I always find it so interesting in modern times that we can be talking to each other from either side of North America. So it's just brilliant.
Yes, exactly.
Well, intuition, we're talking about intuition for this whole month. So it sort of has that same feel of wow, we can connect somehow miraculously, instantaneously, even though we're so far apart. It's this idea of sort of, you know, two things coming together in an almost a miraculous way, no?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So today, Dorothy, we're going to talk about what interferes with intuition. So what gets in the way of intuition? And I look forward to it. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. I'm wondering if you might have a quote to start us off.
I actually have two quotes that I think are relevant to our discussion today. The first one is from Steve Jobs. He said, "Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. Have the courage to follow your heart and intuition." So in terms of interfering, that noise of others' opinion, I'm sure we'll talk about that. The other one is from Albert Einstein. He writes, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." I think that's really beautiful.
That is nice. Goodness, and when you think of both of those gentlemen, right, Albert Einstein and Steve Jobs, they certainly changed the world as we know it, right? They seem to have taken thought where it had not gone before. In fact, I remember the first time I held an iPod, and I just couldn't believe what was in my hand. It seemed so beyond anything I could have ever imagined. He seemed to have that knack of creating what somehow we intuitively knew was next, but we didn't even know it ourselves.
I know. And that's why I think today's topic is so important, because intuition can be a critical factor, but there are many ways in which we interfere with our own intuition. And I'd like to start us off on that, Steve, by talking about interference from dismissal, from belittling or ignoring the intuitive hunch, thinking that it's not really that scientific, or it's not really that relevant or important.
Right, and it sounds like noise as well. You were mentioning noise. noise before, but this idea that inner voice is almost noise and not something to be considered, right?
And so we do things like, you know, we don't trust that nudging that we get from the intuition. you know, we're fearful of what would happen if we were to pay attention. And so we exalt the fear almost instead of paying attention to the intuition. Or we want approval from other people. You know, we want them to, so we want to agree with them. We want to support them as opposed to listening to ourselves. And I'm reminded, Steve, of a sign in that I saw in a dentist's office once. It said, "Ignore your teeth and they'll go away." And I think the same thing is true of intuition, right? Ignore your intuition and it will go away.
Right. Well, I hear two things going on with what you were saying. And one is the emotions, right? Which is this idea of sort of fear of going outside of what we know as factual. And then the other thing is related to that factual, which is science. You know, you were saying that it doesn't fit into our worldview. And it seems we sort of, when we get fearful of trusting ourselves or of doing something different, we default to what we know. And often what we know is sort of linear, right? You know, we come from a world, we've often talked of the Newtonian world, which is really about linear thought and matter, the physical world, which sort of says what is. And you've kind of got to go a bit beyond what is in order to, you know, move forward in creative thinking or to find a new way to open up and be expansive. So it seems like the emotional aspect of being fearful or not trusting ourselves then defaults us to this very sort of linear way, this sort of the tried and true, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I get in this bind where, you know, I just have a sense that this is what needs to happen, or this is what needs to happen next. And then someone will ask me why, you know, ask me to justify that, and then I scramble around. I try to come up with reasons, and the reasons don't make much sense because they're not really related to that intuitive nudge. I'm just grabbing at something to try to make it seem okay, and rather than just saying, you know, I just intuitively I feel that that's what we need to do.
Well, that's sort of. Inspires me to say that as you say that, I sense that there's the spiritual component. You know, I'm picturing you and another person in this conversation and you saying, I intuitively feel this, and that they just want facts. They just want to process it in their mind. In a sense, it limits your innate connection and almost an engagement with you and a sort of a sensing into your holistic being, you know, that, I may know you well, or I may be able to sense into you as well. I may be able to feel or sense your knowingness and trust in that. You know, I sense that we even limit ourselves in terms of embracing each other. And that, I think, is sort of can be an aspect of why intuition is a spiritual. You know, it's a part of a spiritual practice because it's seeing ourselves as more than just what the data that our brain puts out, or being able to reason, or being able to convince somebody else exactly what you're thinking is exactly what you're thinking because they have the exact same data. We're all different. You know, we all have a different way of approaching something or reasoning with something because of our experience.
Well, the intuition is our connection into the energetic field of which we're all a part.
Yeah.
Right. It's what we sense through the intuition is what is present in that field. I should just, you know, comment for our audience that whereas I described the process of being challenged as though it's somebody outside myself challenging me, I do that to myself also. You know, like I'll get an intuitive hunch and I'll try to rationalize it, and it seems kind of silly, and then that can lead to just dismissing it because it doesn't seem to make much sense.
Yes. Well, you are, you know, what's interesting about this whole conversation and this whole month is you and I have a very often a different way of approaching something. I so respect your critical analytical mind. So I can see how you would default to that at times, right? Me, I have to be forced there. Go on.
It's true that I default, but it's also true that I operate intuitively more than many people around me. So I have both. Maybe that's part of what gets me into social trouble is that people expect me to be very fact-based and very rational, and, you know, I'm the statistician and, you know, all of that kind of thing. And yet that's only a part of how I relate to the world.
That's a wonderful observation. See, there it is. That was beautiful to pull that. And I must say that as we sort of put the shows together and the topics and what are we going to discuss? How are we going to discuss intuition for 4 weeks? I will often realize the sort of, the beautiful minutiae that comes up from your linear mind. It's really wonderful, actually, in a way. It makes me think of school sometimes too, though, Dorothy. You know, in school, I was always a very circuitous thinker, and I realized that our education system is really so much based on linear logic and accuracy and statistics. And maybe this has changed today. You know, I'm 50, so this was the 80s mm-hmm. when I was in 70s and 80s. And, you know, but imagination and creativity in the arts, it was really about memorizing data mm-hmm. much more mm-hmm. than discovering and synthesizing. And so mm-hmm. we really do get trained into that way of thinking. You know, so if you can balance both, and I've got a nephew who's very similar to myself in that way, and the classes he loves are the ones that allow for sort of more discussion and for everybody to have an opinion, and it's not just rote memorizing. So perhaps we're moving toward a looser sort of way of or a different way of approaching than such a linear.
Well, there's some ways in our educational system, at least here in Canada, where I think we're going to the other extreme. We're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Mm. One of the provinces announced that it was not going to. Well, not announced. I mean, I think they've been doing it for a while, and there was pushback that they were not going to teach the multiplication tables. They were just going to encourage students to intuit what the relationships were.
Oh,
which means that you have to continually rediscover, right? As opposed to having a base of knowledge that you can operate off of.
Wow, that's interesting. They will rely on smartphones forever. to do their math, not their brains. Dorothy, we're at our first break, so we'll be back. I'm sure we're going to talk about smartphones and intuition. We'll be right back.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat. And every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Before we continue our discussion about intuition, I'd love to talk a bit about our organizations. Spirit Fire Radio is a collaboration between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. So just take a moment to inform you a bit about those organizations and ways you can find out more. Dorothy, you want to say a bit about the School for Esoteric Studies?
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. The School for Esoteric Studies provides discipleship training, esoteric discipleship training, to persons that have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen. And you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We welcome your interest and your outreach. But we also welcome that for a specific initiative, which Spirit Fire Radio is part of. A couple of years ago, we recognized that oftentimes groups that have a spiritual focus don't work together. It's almost like they work in competition, but certainly tend to work just within their own focus. And we felt that it was really important to be collaborating with other groups. And so we purposely set out to find partners with whom to collaborate. And you can find on our website a section on intergroup collaboration. And if you have if you're part of an organization that would like to collaborate with us on a particular project, we would be very interested to hear from you. And one of the partners that we're working with that we're very excited about is Spirit Fire, working together to create this radio program for you. And again, you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net.
Beautiful. And just a bit about Spirit Fire. We are an educational nonprofit as well, focused on educating people on the importance of spirituality and ways to incorporate consciousness and awareness in everyday life. We do that through our own meditation practice. That's a free online meditation practice called The Practice of Living Awareness. And we've got a retreat center here in snowy Western Massachusetts, snowy just about now, not year round, and do consciousness-based retreats and online classes. So you can find out more about us and come to one of our retreats. Great New Year's retreat coming up at spiritfire.com. And indeed, this collaboration has been an amazing project, amazing collaboration, and has led to so many more wonderful ideas, which isn't that the way it works, Dorothy, right? With co-creation, it just sort of seems to bear fruit that you just can keep on picking.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I look forward to, let's go on. So another thing that can get in the way of...
But Steve, I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment. We were talking about smartphones just before the break.
Sure.
And I just wanted to say one thing because it relates to, you know, our discussion about dismissal before we move on. And that is one of the challenges that is occurring is that we have all of these tools like a smartphone. I as someone who as one in one part of my life taught statistics used to get my students very upset when I would not allow them to use calculators. I asked them to, I mean, I made the numbers pretty easy on quizzes and tests, but I asked them to do the calculations themselves. And part of that was because I was noticing that as people relied on the tools instead of their own skill set, they were losing the ability to evaluate the accuracy of something that was presented to them. You know, like they know this is like related to the multiplication tables. They could no longer recognize that a particular number couldn't possibly be true if you were, you know, multiplying these two other numbers together or whatever. In other words, they lost their own relationship to the pattern, which is part of what intuition is all about, because they were relying on technology to do it for them. And we have a lot of experiences, if we think about it, where by doing for somebody else, we disempower them. I mean, they actually don't learn to do something. They don't develop a particular ability. And so we can do that to ourselves. We can dismiss an intuitive nudge frequently enough that it stops showing up.
Yeah, I mean, well, just think of how many things that our smartphones and that the internet does for us. I mean, we used to have a service industry. I mean, just think of airline reservations, how much time we spend if we fly or business. You know, we used to go to a travel agent and they did all of that for us. And in so many instances, technology has taken over. And so we rely on a machine to do something. And I think also that has to do with our association with other people, allowing us to slow down, not multitask, allow things to sink in. But as you were saying with the times tables, you've actually got to put those numbers in your brain. You've got to practice your times tables. You've got to start to see the patterns within the numbers and understand how it works. I think we've all been at a cash register where the cashier, you know, puts the amount in. If you give them a $20 bill and there's an odd number, an odd change, and then you all of a sudden say, wait a minute, you know, here's 14 cents so that you get an even number back. And they panic, you know, they freak out because they've already entered it in the machine and they have to do the math themselves and they get scared. It shuts down their rational thought. And the brain just starts to react and doesn't allow for them to pause. And if they don't have that data already in their mind, forget it. It's useless if they've always banked on calculators or, you know, cash registers as the calculator. So, you know, it's a very complex problem, really, with what's getting in the way of intuition. First, that we don't really allow ourselves to put enough data in our brain and allow it to be there, as you were saying, in schools. In Canada, you know, before the break, you were saying that idea of no more times tables. But it really is an issue. You know, we allow smartphones. They call them what the weapons of mass distraction.
There's also schools that have announced that they will no longer teach cursive writing.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then after a while, people will no longer be able to read original documents that were written, you know, including things like the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, those kinds of things. But we have the other side. You know, we have this dismissal of, you know, no, it's not that important. We're not going to pay attention. But we also have the process of overthinking, right, where we discredit our intuitive hunch by kind of talking ourselves out of it, you know, looking at the intuitive hunch from so many different ways that it just kind of evaporates.
Right. I sort of think we need to be in the flow, right? It's kind of like we've got to be in the flow. I just saw a wonderful TED Talk the other day that was about a band called OK Go, and they do these beautiful videos that are very complex, sort of like a domino effect sort of seems to always happen in their videos, where one thing leads to another. It's all very spontaneous. It all feels very organic, but you can tell it's all very planned. And it's this really wonderful effect. But they were asking them, you know, how do you come up with these, with the creative process? How do you come up with these ideas? And how do you, it all seems so complex. How do you keep it original? And they basically said that they try not to think too much. You know, they try to put all their ideas in a big box, in a sense, where they'd really be thinking and planning, as you're saying, overthinking, just this happens and this happens and it will lead to this and lead to this. So they sort of create what they call like sort of an idea sandbox, put everything in there and then allow things to appear, allow things to arise, and allow connections to arise. And there was a quote of them saying that, you know, they think of everything they can, and they get the space filled up with chaos, and then they get a few things to line up. So it's interesting. It's kind of this idea that you don't plan for a great idea. You sort of just have to have a playful element. You know, you've got to have all the data in place, but then sort of go with the flow with it, allow things to arise.
Well, I think what you just said is a really critical piece, Steve, that I think we'll keep coming back to, and that is you have to have the data in place first, right?
Yes.
This doesn't just happen in a vacuum.
Right.
And that what we're doing when we're using the intuition is without even recognizing it, without having to spend a lot of time thinking about it rationally, we are sensing patterns in the information around us, the data field that surrounds us.
Yeah, once again, there's that sort of trust element that the brain knows what to do. And when we add our feeling nature to that, with that trust and sort of possibility, you know, allowing for possibilities, that those patterns just, we will go with the flow within those patterns, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy, we're already at another break. So,
oh my goodness.
I know, we're at halftime. So anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Set your intention for 2018 at Spirit Fire's annual New Year's Meditation Retreat. Find yourself at the peaceful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts this January for a weekend of meditation, amazing food, and planning. Planning to have the most exciting year ever. Visit upcoming events at spiritfire.com for more info. Happy meditating!
Spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Welcome back, listeners. We are going to continue our discussion on intuition, what gets in the way of intuition. And Dorothy, it makes me think about some of our past shows where we have talked about the nervous systems that we have at our disposal. You know, we've got this brain, or we've got our brain, you know, we've got our central nervous system, and our brain is the main aspect of that. But we've talked about our enteric nervous system, which is the nervous system in our gut. And our gut is really related to our feeling nature, having a gut feeling, right? And We talked last month a bit about the field of the heart and the fact that we've got neurons in the heart, that we've got this connection between the heart and the brain. And it seems to me in just the last segment of the show talking about overthinking, it's as if we can sometimes limit ourselves to really just using our brain and not using our whole subtle system, really taking advantage of all of the inputs available to us, you know, within our nervous system. And it's our gut feeling, it's our connection, this kind of like innate trust and connection to the entire world around us, and sort of allowing things to come to you and that you're connected, and that being the heart, you know, and the mind, which then uses the data. But seems to me we can limit ourselves, especially if we're really only using our brain. And for sure, one aspect of that is this idea of multitasking. You know, this preoccupation with the next thing and the next thing and the next thing keeps us really right at our prefrontal cortex. And I mean, when you study the brain, is so fascinating. But you know, they've just proven that multitasking really makes us less efficient. We're less cognitive, memory goes down, that, you know, it actually, when we're multitasking, we think we're doing a good job, but we're actually sending signals to the brain that there's, in a sense, some sort of danger. It's why we get nervous, is the more we multitask, we feel that rush, that sort of that tension. It's because your brain is releasing cortisol, which is rewarding you from only paying attention to the external and losing focus on the internal, because you're in a bit of defense. You're in a bit of like, you know, I've got to take care of the next thing. It's a defense mechanism. So you can see how intuition would be, you know, it would interfere with intuition, where you really need to allow this sort of free flow exchange of inner and outer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think it's important for us to keep in mind that I keep using the word nudge. You know, the intuitive nudge is very subtle. You know, it's that still small voice, and it can be drowned out really easily. And it can be, we can distract ourselves sufficiently that it's like it's not there at all for us. It's just, it's very quietly in the background. Whereas if we nurture it, which we'll talk about in, you know, in a couple of weeks, ways to nurture. But if we are nurturing it, the voice becomes easier to hear. But if it's like we the distraction that we create, and it's not just multitasking, it's our preoccupation with social media, with being constantly connected to external stimulus.
Yes.
Which doesn't allow any space to hear the intuitive nudges.
Yeah, there's an allowing, right, to intuition and a noticing. You're right, it's soft and subtle. You know, we've really got to be present and we've got to create space for it. And, you know, you see, I keep going back to it, my poor nephew, if he ever listens to this show. But, you know, it was amazing. It's amazing to be around a teenager and just watch them constantly move from app to app and to from one stimulant to the next. And there's always a reaching, you know, what's next and what's next. There's always a, you know, from their mind going out to something. And intuition is about, you know, at times creating space for allowing something to come in, to be receptive. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that the social media is a connection to others. It's that external stimulation. Intuition is a tapping into the energetic connection that we all have.
Yeah.
So why do the two contradict each other, Steve?
It is an interesting question. And, you know, I wonder if it is that built into social media is this idea of instantaneous and more. And you notice that, for instance, if you look at a page of Facebook or even if you look at a news page these days, there's 14 or 15 things happening at once, things spinning and colors, everything moving, right? So even though we are connecting, I think that there's a vying for our attention that's going on at the same time. Yeah. It seems
also that the milieu, the electronic milieu, which also can reinforce a focus on me, you know, what's happening with me, is not the same as the energetic field that we're talking about when we talk about the one life, the what it is that connects all of us together, that, you know, some people have talked about as the rain cloud of knowable things, you know, this whole space of energetic potentiality. And really that's what we know from quantum physics, is that the world is potential, it's probabilistic, it's not factual and constant.
Yes. Yeah, and sort of having understanding that you have access to that, which is, Dorothy, don't you think it's interesting even that the internet, in a way, you know, now we move toward the cloud. You just said the rain cloud of knowable things. And we've all surfed the internet and sort of felt that sense of awe at how much information there is out there, how much data. And in a way, it does mirror this idea of infinite information, infinite light, infinite connection. You know what I mean? That in a way, with the internet, you could follow your intuition and follow, you know, you could just get lost in it in a way that has that same feel of everything all at once in a quantum way, you know, that, but boy, do we misuse it sometimes, you know, it's almost as if we're just not quite there yet as a humanity, as you were saying about the ways in which sometimes that idea of me, that social media can make us really look at ourselves, judge ourselves, become in a way egomaniacal, you know, how many likes do I have and how many hits do I have? But at the same time, we see this tapping into others' experiences where it moves away from the ego and we do feel a connection. So in all of it, there's this interesting dichotomy of where it's just a matter of choice. How do we use it? What do we get from it? You know. But there's one interesting thing as I was doing research about this. I wanted to just – I came up with piece of information that I found interesting. It was a neuroscientist that was talking about when students are watching TV and studying at the same time, that when there's two things going on in that distraction, it goes to the part of the brain called the striatum, which specializes in storing new procedures and new skills, not facts and ideas. It's kind of like the brain is saying, let's see if we'll use this again. It's kind of like it keeps it on hold to see if it gets repeated again. But if they're focusing on one thing, on studying, it goes to the hippocampus, which is where it gets organized and categorized. And then it's easier to retrieve. So it's kind of like it says, well, let's put this fact somewhere where we can find it again later. And so you can see that as we're distracted, almost in a quantum way, right, where everything is happening all at once, there's no linear time and space, it keeps everything almost in this, it doesn't allow it to sink in. And as you were saying, such an important aspect that I've learned so much just in really pondering intuition is that it has so much to allowing the data to sink in and allowing the data to register and be there so you can call upon it. So, you know, we've got so much available to us, you know, there's so much everything all at once in a quantum way, but boy, do we have to embrace this time-space reality and let it sink in a very material, data, formal way, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in, you see that mimicked in certain forms of meditation, like the School for Esoteric Study uses seed thought meditation, where you would think that this is like a brain activity. You have a particular thought that you're meditating on. But really what you're doing is you are allowing it to become magnetic to similar thoughts or concepts. You're using it as a mechanism to open the mind to all of the, if you wish, all of those bits in that rain cloud of knowable things that are related, that can be drawn in to build upon the thought. So yes. it's an interesting balance between the two.
It's a beautiful technique, right? And it's really one of the, it is really one of the most pristine and sort of auspicious, types of meditation, because it really does involve all the different qualities of mind. You know, it involves focusing. You focus on a seed thought, and then it involves the expansive mind. You know, you sort of open the mind then, and you empty the mind to allow then that which is like to attract. And in a sense, it's like it's called a seed thought meditation, I think, because it grows. It takes on a life of its own, right? Like the seed flowers, it efflorescens. And so it uses the mind in so many different ways and so many capacities. So indeed, and I think meditation, you know, I love that you brought up meditation in terms of distraction, because it's such a wonderful way to create an inner alignment and to get to know our mind and to be able to sense when we are being distractive and come back to that alignment so that we can notice the nudges, right? The soft and subtle nudges. Dorothy, we've got to go to another break.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Great conversation. We'll be right back after these messages, and we'll wrap up our second show on intuition.
Book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Isn't it time to put your health first? To give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled michelle.com/book.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back, listeners. We are talking about intuition. Dorothy and I will be spending this whole month, the month of December, talking about intuition and its relationship to the spiritual path. Dorothy, attachment. I want to wrap up today by talking about attachment, which is such a juicy subject because we all do it, right? We get so attached to an idea, right? Or we've talked about conditions so much, and conditions, we talked about forgiveness last month, and conditions came up. And boy, does that just squash it all, right? Conditions, attachment. If we know the answer, and that's the answer, here we are, we're done. Well, I don't know, we might as well just jump off a bridge because there's nothing new, right?
Well, and that's why I think it's important to talk about attachment in relation to intuition, because for the intuition to function, there needs to be this spaciousness. There needs to be this field of possibilities that we then link into. And as you said, if we believe that we already know the answer, you know, if we're not in the space of listening, we're just in the space of knowing in the sense of I don't need to have any other input, I already know what it's supposed to be, then there's no room for the intuition.
Yeah. Boy, Dorothy, I adore that you just said the word listening. In all of our conversations, you haven't said that word. But, you know, it is profound. And I would ask listeners, you know, the next time you're in a conversation with someone, make it, you know, effort to simply listen longer than you naturally would, to just allow for listening. You know, we do an exercise here in meditation retreats where we will spend 5 minutes with two people across from each other, one simply listening, the other talking, knowing the other person is not going to respond, but their role is just to listen. And you'd be amazed at what comes up and the connections you feel, not only with the other person, but with what they're saying. Because you are creating space, you're creating, you're being receptive and magnetic to what they're saying, and your brain just comes alive in ways that in this modern world you know, talking about too muchness all the time. Often even while somebody's talking, we're on to the next thing, you know. So that idea of listening is so important and can really remind us of the breadth of, you know, of the sort of the prowess of our mind.
Well, actually, it's interesting because in the I used to do workshops on active listening, and one of the big issues is that people, they think they're listening, but really what they're doing is they're preparing a reply.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're focused in themselves. They're not really focused
right
on the other person at all. And so they're not present in that field within which intuition operates.
Yes. And they're multitasking in a way when they're doing that, which is causing all those issues we talked about before. But when you are allowing and listening to another and you're tapped into what they're saying, but also allowing, you get the sense that you are affirming your connection, your interconnection. You know, you're sort of relying on what will arise in your mind and allowing that. And I think, you know, it's just, it is reinforcing our interconnectedness because it's valuable exchange. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you had, Steve, you had a couple of quotes from Einstein in relation to this.
Yeah.
I wish you would share those.
Sure, because Einstein, you know, he's such a spiritual creature. You know, he's like the world's greatest scientist and yet such a spiritual man. He often talks about intuition. You know, if you Google Einstein and intuition, there's books written about intuition. So I was thinking, when we're thinking about attachment, it's this idea of being attached to a way of thinking, like just thinking with words, that if I'm going to ponder something or process something, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to think about it. And that thinking contains words. Einstein has said that when, this is a quote from him, he said, "When I examine myself and my methods of thought, I don't have it." As I'm looking at my quote, it's not making sense. I have to use my intuition. He says basically that he doesn't use words, that his thinking goes on. I found it. My thinking goes on without the use of symbols. It's largely unconscious. He says, "I very rarely think in words at all. A thought comes and I may try to express it in words afterwards." So he really allows for thoughts to come in, intuition and inspiration. And he often said he just feels he's right without knowing why. And he doesn't immediately want to put words on that. He just allows it to be. So, mm-hmm. You know, not being attached to the scientific method, this idea of this follows this, but allowing it all to sort of download and then putting words to it. I find mm-hmm. that sort of magical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important. And I think that the whole relationship between critical thinking and intuition is an important one. And I think we're going to talk about that next week.
Next week.
Because it's critical in understanding that intuition doesn't just happen. It appears to just happen, but it's actually drawing on a lot of data. And this part of the skill is to not superimpose a predetermined pattern on that data, which is what we do when we're attached to a particular way of thinking, but rather to be open to the many different ways in which the data can configure itself.
Yes. As I was sort of looking forward to talking about critical thinking, it just became so clear, this idea of patterns that exist underneath the surface and feeling into them, getting to know them, understanding that we're a part of them, that we are really a part of this sort of very intricate tapestry that is life, that in its own way is sort of fractal in nature. You know, it's just patterns repeating itself, but within that, we're all individual. So allowing life to come in, allowing data to come into our brain and experiences to resonate, and from that place, trusting and moving forward creatively so that your life is always interesting, and trusting that intuitively, right, you will always have the new, right? The sense of wonder is there. Dorothy, we're about at the end. Any last final words on how our listeners can just stay clear of interference?
Yeah, I think that the for me, the main takeaway is that intuition, that we are all intuitive, and we all have ways in which we diminish or dampen down or actually tune out that intuitive sense. And the intuitive sense is critical for our survival as well as for our creativity. And so remembering that that we are the ones that interfere with it. It's not that we don't have it. It's that we are not nurturing it.
Well, you started with the most wonderful quote that said that, you know, Einstein saying that the intuitive mind is a sacred gift. You know, it implies that it's part of our makeup. It's there. We have it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of tuning in instead of tuning out, right?
Yep.
Well, listeners, we're glad you tuned in to another episode of Spirit Fire Radio. We'll be back next week where we're going to talk about critical thinking. It's so fascinating, the relationship of critical thinking and intuition. Dorothy, I look so forward to it. And I'll join you next week.
Yes.
All right. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.